Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey, everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we take a look back at the Detroit Lions' Week 7 game loss against the Baltimore Ravens. We'll touch on what went wrong, turning points in the game, concerns and takeaways, anything good, and major storylines coming out as we approach the NFL trade deadline. One note about this episode: when discussing the trade deadline, I mistakenly said it was Monday at 4 p.m., but it's actually Tuesday at 4 p.m., so that will be the day after the Lions' Monday night matchup against the Raiders. I knew it was on Halloween, and I got Monday confused with Tuesday, so just wanted to straighten that away. When you hear the conversation later in the episode, that's why we're talking about Monday and not Tuesday. I just wanted to make sure that correct information's out there. Now back to the regularly scheduled episode. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
This is Corey Schlesinger, and you are listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined today by James Cook, senior sports writer for the Traverse City Record Eagle. You can also hear him on the Get Around podcast. It drops on Mondays. Good to have you here as always, James.
Yeah, I wish it was better circumstances, but yeah.
Yeah, this is going to be a rough one to talk about. As we get ready to do that, just a reminder to the listeners, please hit the subscribe or like button. It's helping us build momentum, so please help us with that. Talking about likes, James, let's start with what we liked in this, because that's going to be a short segment. There's not a lot to like. I think we probably both could agree on that one. The first thing I want to point out is the fan experience. I kind of talked about that in the instant reaction. There were a good number of Detroit Lions fans out there, and it's kind of cool seeing so many Lions fans at a visiting event. It's kind of like a unifying event, a unifying experience, getting to talk to other Lions fans about the team and kind of making you feel a little bit more comfortable when you're out on the road.
Yeah, you flew out for the game, right?
I did, yes.
Okay. Where were you at in the stadium?
Oh, we were up pretty high. I mean, we started down low. We were down on the sideline right before the game, you know, a few rows back. Got great views of a ton of Lions fans. There were great chants going before the game. Let's go Lions. You know, got a good shout out to Brad Holmes as he's walking by. And so there was a good representation. And as I kind of pointed out, it probably didn't come across in the game or on TV because the game got out of hand so quickly. But early on, like the first drive, you could actually hear Lions fans pretty well in the stadium when Baltimore was driving, even though it didn't work out for the Lions.
Yeah, it looked like there was a decent amount there. Did they thin out in the second half?
I think both teams thinned out in the second half, if I'm going to be honest with you. And by that fourth quarter, there were a lot of Ravens fans leaving as well. So, again, I like the Detroit Lions fan experience. I like the fact that there were so many people out there. It kind of made it feel like you're home away from home. And I think that trend might continue. As I already pointed out, I met one lady who had been to Kansas City. She had been to Tampa. She wasn't going to miss that game. And you know, again, game didn't go the way she wanted. But I've also seen on social media, a lot of other people have been posting, I got my tickets for Los Angeles to go see the Chargers. Like, there are fans that are still looking to travel.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of still want to go to the Bears game if possible. I'm figuring that one's going to be an affordable game to go to.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I think that would be a fun one to try and get to, and a great experience at Soldier Field as well. So if we turn to the game, there's only one thing that I thought that like was like, I kind of think this is good, and I think you might agree, but Jahmyr Gibbs, that was like the one slightly bright spot I saw, right? He had 68 yards rushing, 58 receiving. He had a nice touchdown run, and I think he kind of started to show some of what the Lions are hoping he can do.
Yeah, yeah, he was a bright spot. I mean, 9 catches for 58 yards, 9 catches on 10 targets. I mean, that is those are great numbers to see for him, and I think that's what people expected from the get-go, that he was going to be more involved in the receiving complement, a theoretic plus with Montgomery being more of the, you know, between the tackles, between the 20s kind of running back. And probably goal line carries as well, but I just saw him coming out of the draft as being a guy who was a weapon in the passing game, maybe even more so than the running game.
So yeah, it was good to see a glimpse of some things that could be to come. And the Lions, you know, Coach Campbell talked about having to rely him more out of necessity than maybe they were expecting. And I think you hit it right there. That offensive weapon, they want him in the receiving game. And obviously this game got out of hand quickly, so it probably changed the full game plan. But hopefully we will see more of him woven in throughout the team's offense as we move forward.
Yeah, I mean, as far as the other things that were good, you saw, I guess, the offensive line, according to PFF, graded out fairly well, surprisingly, which I was pretty surprised about, aside from Vitae. So I was really surprised about that they thought that the Lions offensive line played pretty well.
Yeah, that surprised me as well.
So, and with the, you know, Sewell getting a couple of penalties and, you know, hopefully they get Jackson back here soon, or if not this week, then maybe the week after. And same for David Montgomery. I mean, they didn't put those players on injured reserve, so they don't think it's going to be 4 games. It's going to be less than that. So it was good to see Brian Branch back. He didn't get a whole lot of action, really, as far as stuff coming his way. But at least he was in the game, so it was good to see that. Other than that, I don't know that there was a whole lot of good. One of the interesting things was Malcolm Rodriguez and seeing him line up on offense.
I was watching from like way up high, and I'm like, number 44 just came off the field, guys. I go, who's number 44 again? And I was double checking. I'm like, Malcolm Rodriguez, do they have him in at fullback? And so that was a little bit of a surprise for me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Cabinda is their fullback and he's hurt, and he was a guy that they converted from linebacker to fullback. So, you know, maybe this is another way to get to utilize Malcolm Rodriguez or Malcolm. Rodriguez, and get him involved in the game more than just on special teams.
I think that's exactly what Coach Campbell was talking about, was they have a guy in the building, they're already using him. How can they use him more, and what other role? So yeah, that was a surprise, but you know what? I love the creativity, and if it can help benefit the offense and provide an extra strong blocker. And Rodriguez said after the game that he liked being on the hitting end of things. From that standpoint of blocking. And so it's a little bit different.
Yeah, I think you could tell from his playing style, even at linebacker, that's something that suits him. You know, he was a linebacker who just liked to attack the block and blow it up a little bit and then disengage and make the tackle. But
all right, well, let's do that transition we don't want to do and talk about what we didn't like. And we're going to start with actually Coach Dan Campbell sharing what he didn't like.
What's disappointing is it's like losing itself really stings. But the fact we were never even in that game, that's what really burns. You know, that's the burn of it. That's the burn of it. And so that, more than anything, you just want to know you're in the fight. And when you weren't, then it's like, man, that's a real bitter pill. So I think, look, here's what I know. You know, we won our first game of the season. Seattle comes in here and it's a dogfight, and they beat us, and we didn't play well enough to win that game. And then we played pretty good football, you know. And all I know is we got to bounce back. That's the most important thing, because at the end of the day, we're 5-2, and where we're going to have a problem is we back it up with another loss. That's where the problem. To me, there's a ton to learn off this tape for myself, for the coaches, and for these players. And but we got to own it, you know. I mean, we got to own it. We got to look at it and say, man, this is. There can't be excuses. You can't fight us on it. It is what it is. The tape doesn't lie, and we will all have a hand in it.
So, James, I think that's probably how most Lions fans feel when thinking about this game, that it felt like you were out of it before you even blinked.
Yeah, the offense looked disjointed, and the defense didn't look like it had a plan for Lamar Jackson. It looks like they just decided we're going to line up in our kind of our normal defense and just see what happens. And they saw what happened, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, it was not good at all. The secondary could not stop much of anything. And I know Jerry Jacobs being out right before the game did not help the situation. You mentioned Brian Branch was back, but even with him back, it didn't make any difference. Lamar Jackson was finding wide open receivers all over the place.
Yeah, having to play Will Harris at an outside corner turned out to not be good at all. You know, he's been solid this season when playing at safety and playing in the nickel, you know, in the nickel or dime role. But him playing out wide corner just was not good.
Well, and I'm not going to put all this on the secondary either, because there were some plays where you think Lamar Jackson's down two or three times. And I don't know how you cover somebody for 9 seconds in the secondary. So there was some good coverage, but then the front line couldn't get him down or contain him. And so that was a big concern. Lamar Jackson made plays. He's one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. He has been a unanimous MVP. But we also have to look at our secondary and look at, hey, C.J. Gardner-Johnson is out. Mosley is out. We've been banged up there quite a bit, and we're really getting thin at the secondary, and we're going to come back to that a little bit later. Let's transition over to the offense, though. You talked about it. You thought maybe they didn't have a game plan. They seemed like they were playing tight really early on. I mean, they went 3-and-out like on 3 straight drives to start the game.
3 straight, yeah. And that doesn't help your defense at all either. I mean, because they were tired. You saw them rotating through the defensive line, which, you know, coming into the season, we thought that was something they were going to be able to do with such depth in the defensive line, but it didn't really seem to help. Nobody really, other than Aiden Hutchinson, could really generate any consistent pressure. And, you know, and then if you look at the PFF grades, which, you know, I'm not an absolute believer in that they're a 100% accurate type of thing. Aside from Lamar Jackson, nobody on Baltimore really graded out incredibly high either. Not a whole lot of other guys just beating them up. I mean, you know, their running game was okay. Their offensive line wasn't like destroying the Lions or anything like that. I think the Lions just played a poor game all around. I don't know if it was lack of motivation, if they started believing their own hype, you know, or what. But, you know, I tweeted during the game. I said, this is the Carolina game all over again. And
it was, you're right.
And, you know, in the fact that it was just embarrassing. I would have paid to have been a fly on the wall at halftime and hear what Dan Campbell said at halftime. And if it didn't involve some version of the word embarrassment, I don't know if I would believe it or not.
Well, I agree with you that I thought this was like the Carolina game. Let me rephrase that. I hope this is like the Carolina game, because the Lions rebounded from that in a major way. And Coach Campbell talked in the presser how, you know, on the first drive, one guy doesn't do his job. So then the next drive, somebody else is worried about the other guy not doing his job, so then he doesn't get his job done. And so you just started having breakdowns happening across the board. And I felt like that made the offense even tighter. And you talked about, you know, the Lions offensive line graded out well on PFF, but 5 sacks, Goff looked uncomfortable a big part of the day. It took a long time to get the running game going. So all those things kind of come into play.
Yeah, and he just didn't seem comfortable throwing the ball to Jamison Williams either. You know, I mean, he threw the ball his way 6 times. None of them got completed. One got picked off. I think 2 of those were dropped. And I just don't know that they've developed a rapport at all, really. And I don't know, seeing how well Goff has played this season, I don't know who to pin that on other than Jamison Williams.
That seems like a logical conclusion with exactly what you said.
I even late in the game, they took some deep shots, and you're like, hey, maybe Jameson Williams is going to come down with this, and it doesn't happen. And so, I mean, the game was out of hand at that point. It didn't matter, but you still would have liked to see some connections, some progress. And Coach Campbell talked about it, right? The game got out of hand so quickly that the game calling, the scripting, if you will, the strategy changed big time. I mean, the Ravens scored on their opening drive and multiple drives after that. They even went for it on fourth down to get into the end zone eventually. The Lions were down 28-0 halfway into the second quarter. So the game plan's out the window. The defense seemed to not have an answer. And like you said, when they shifted, when they compensated and tried to help on the pass coverage, then it opened up the running lanes more, and then everything just was off.
Yeah. And then the defense, we mentioned that how the defensive line didn't provide any pressure on Lamar Jackson. The times that they did, he just stepped up and avoided it and made plays. And then the linebackers didn't look like they knew what to do in this situation.
The tight ends were there. And I mean, I remember watching one play, and I don't know if it was a linebacker or a defensive back, but he had a decision to make. It was, do I stay on this receiver or I come up and get Lamar? If he didn't come up and get Lamar, Lamar's running 10 yards for a touchdown. He came up, Lamar throws it over his head. It's a 10-yard touchdown pass. So it was real difficult.
Yeah, and they've got to have, and it didn't seem like they, you know, a lot of times people say, oh, well, against a quarterback like that, you have to have a spy. They didn't seem to do that. They also didn't seem to, just the linebackers just didn't seem to be coached on what they were supposed to be doing. Barnes looked lost. Jack Campbell looked lost. Anceloni made a whole bunch of tackles, but they were usually after pretty decent gains. So the whole defense just looked just really poor that first half. Very Carolina-esque.
Yeah. And again, hopefully this is our Carolina game from last year because we rebounded well against it. And Coach Campbell talked about this, and you know, he didn't sugarcoat it at all. He accepted full responsibility and said they're going to look at different things that they could do differently. And he also just talked about people doing their jobs and that this isn't on one person. I mean, the team around just looked tight, looked, I don't want to say flat, but like it wasn't there. Something was missing. And that's exactly how the Carolina game felt last year.
Yeah, yeah. And you hope, it also makes you wonder, you know, if this is a pattern. I mean, this has happened 2 years in a row where you've had a game where they just didn't show up. Like, you were like, who is this team? Not like they just, you know, came up, played a close game and gave up some bad plays or got some bad calls go their way or whatever. Like, just not even showing up. It's starting to look almost like a pattern that this is going to happen at least once a season where the team just completely doesn't show up. It wasn't a matter of, you know, that some bad calls went their way, some bad plays didn't, you know, they didn't get the bounces. They did nothing to earn those bounces, and they just didn't, the effort didn't even seem to be there completely. You know, they just looked like a different team than we've seen the first 5 weeks of the season, 5-6 weeks of the season here.
Yeah. I know the Lions fans, I mean, we all wanted to see a battle with one of the best, and it didn't happen. And again, maybe that's a reminder of this team's not there yet. And when I say that, I mean, it's early in the season. I mean, we're near the midway point, but we're not near the end. We're not near an end product, right? And so we are still a work in progress. The team is a work in progress. This was ugly, but no matter how ugly it was, guess what? It was just one loss. And it was a loss to a good AFC team. And so, you know, being blown out by a really good team, one of the best quarterbacks they're going to see all year, that's going to slow down some of the national hype that's been growing around this team. And while I don't like the loss, I'm okay with that hype slowing a little bit. I don't care a whole lot about the hype that we get from other people, but this is a good reminder for the team. Anything can happen.
Yeah, you got to hope that this is just a jolt to the system and a slap to the head that this team comes out of this and is like, okay, well, we can't start buying into our hype. We can't start listening to the media and believing that we're Super Bowl contenders. You know, we got to go out. We got to do this every day in practice. We got to do our jobs and do this right. And, you know, I mean, there were some glimmers of, you know, good spots, like we talked about earlier. Amon-Ra St. Brown had 13 catches. I mean, so there were aspects of it, but there was just a lot of bad. and you got to hope that this turns a light on. And the NFL's got to hope that this doesn't turn a light on either, and they start playing better than they did the first 6 weeks.
Well, let me, I'm going to make a comparison here, and this is going to, you know, some of our listeners might not want to hear this, but I made the comment at halftime to one of my buddies that was watching with me, because we watched a Michigan State game the night before. And at halftime, I said, this is not going to end the way the Michigan State game ends. I go, this is going to have a better ending. Now, you can argue it was still a blowout at 38-6, but 38-6 is better than, was it 49-0? And the Lions did show some hope, some life in the second half. It wasn't pretty by any means, but they did have some success.
Yeah, probably facing a little bit more lenient defense after getting a huge lead there in the first half. I mean, 28-0 at halftime. I don't think they even punted in the first half.
They did not.
And, you know, so and those four drives that they had, those four scoring drives, none of them were short either. I mean, they were just all sustained drives and had to be deflating for that team to just have the Ravens just march the ball down their throats.
But also, I'm going to say with the offense, we only put 6 points up on the board. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the offense may have been in the red zone 3 or 4 times. I mean, they actually did move the ball at times. They just couldn't finish on some plays. So we didn't score 20 points for the first time this season. All right. And so that's, I guess that's going to happen because that was, we were on a pretty good streak with that. But it wasn't like we couldn't do anything at all. And yeah, I'm sure the Ravens played more of a prevent system or something late in the game. It was not a pretty game, but there were pockets of, hey, we do have a heartbeat still. And Coach Campbell talked about this. They're going to refocus and they're going to come back from this re-energized. And I'm going to say, in addition to the good news of the Broncos beating the Packers, the other good news is the Lions are going to play the Raiders next week.
Yeah, that is good news. I actually, the place that I was watching the game also had the Bears Raiders game on. And the Bears looked pretty legit against the Raiders. The Raiders made the Bears look legit, maybe. And Tyson Bagent actually looked like an NFL quarterback, you know, not a Division II guy playing his first start in the NFL. So you do have that hope that they can get right next week. And then maybe, you know, maybe best case scenario, they beat the Raiders bad. And then right after the game, Brad Holmes is like, well, hey, how about giving us that Max Crosby guy for a draft pick?
Well, the trade deadline's 4 p.m. on Monday, so we're going to get to that because their game will take place after that. But let's talk about a couple of injuries, and that was Mo Ibrahim. He had to have surgery. Apparently, he dislocated his hip. He's now back in Detroit, so that is good, but he's going to be out. Bam Knight's already out. David Montgomery's been banged up, and so there's our running back situation. Khalif Raymond was out late in the game, but the coach called it cramp, so nothing major there with him. But we know we have secondary concerns, right? The Lions held Tampa to 6 points, which was really impressive. But we said it before, the defensive front probably helped cover up some of the issues in the secondary. And the game against Baltimore reminded me of the game like they played against Seattle. So the trade deadline's a week away, James. There's already a lot of noise out there. You already started alluding to this. It's going to continue to build to a fever pitch. We're seeing other teams make moves right now. To me, the running back position potentially, but definitely the secondary are the two attention getters. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if they're going to do anything, the most likely ones would be the secondary and another defensive end to complement Aiden Hutchinson. And those are two premium positions where, you know, that's going to cost a lot. I don't know that Holmes is going to make a trade for either of those. The Lions do have some cap space, so if they could maybe take somebody who is overpaid, you know, but I don't know that he's going to take anybody in a long-term contract that's way overpaid and put yourself in a bad situation in the cap. So, and I don't know that he's going to want to give up draft capital. You know, Brad Holmes seems to intent on making this a sustainable thing where the Lions can be contenders every year, not a Los Angeles Rams thing where they put all their eggs into one basket in one season. And then we see what the result of that has been the last couple of years after that. They could maybe make a trade. If they do, it's going to be for, I think, a role player, you know, maybe just a veteran corner that they could get relatively reasonably, that they could plug in there. That's going to be better than Will Harris if, you know, Jerry Jacobs gets hurt again. You know, I can't imagine what this defense would look like if Cam Sutton gets hurt. So, you know, those are the areas that I could see. I could see them also maybe picking up a running back if somebody becomes available, you know, a veteran who is not just a one-dimensional role player.
Yeah, you know, I got to say, we don't really know what to expect right now. I mean, the team has never been in this position with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell in charge. I mean, we traded TJ Hockenson last year, but we were 1-6 when that happened. And they said that wasn't because we weren't going to go anywhere. They just, that was a move they were going to make, but we didn't bring anybody in. And so I don't know what to expect. I could see us making a bigger splash in the defensive back position rather than maybe running back. And here's why, right? Two of the guys that we lost were on 1-year deals. And so if we want to bring those back guys back next year, we can, but we're going to have to address this next year anyway. So I could see the Lions being willing to give up maybe a little bit more for someone now that they think they could keep around in the long term, knowing that, hey, this secondary is not a final product and they're going to need some to sign one or two more people next year. As for running back, I think we could use help in like the bruising back area. But like you said, I do not see us overspending there. I don't see Brad Holmes sacrificing the future for this spot, like you said before, right? I mean, I think if we think David Montgomery is going to be healthy after the bye, then maybe we don't need to do anything. But a little insurance would feel good. And like you said, I was talking to a friend, and the prototypical guy that I would like to see us have, which it won't be this guy, but a guy like Latavius Murray, somebody like that, you know, someone that could come in and be behind Montgomery if he gets banged up or needs a little bit of reprieve. And then that puts Craig Reynolds down one slot, because right now everybody behind Craig Reynolds keeps getting hurt. And so we just don't have a lot of depth.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can see them bringing in somebody like that if they got really desperate, although I don't think he's a fit personality wise. You know, there's Leonard Fournette, who's still a free agent. You know, if the Patriots decide that they're going to become sellers, maybe Zeke Elliott, you know, but I don't, you know, he's not cheap, but he's on a 1-year deal there, and could probably be gotten for just a pick swap. So you're not necessarily giving up a pick. You're just maybe trading a fifth for a sixth or something like that. And the Patriots don't really seem to be going anywhere despite winning a game miraculously last week.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible that they won that game. And so, yeah, you're right, though. With their record, you have to wonder what they're looking at, what they're thinking about. Never been a Zeke Elliott fan myself, but I see your point on this one. That is the type of person we could use. Somebody like him, like Latavius Murray. Maybe not either of these guys, but somebody. It doesn't have to be the guy everybody wants, which is Derrick Henry. I think that's kind of like the Baltimore Ravens, who are clamoring for Saquon Barkley right now. We don't need to necessarily make the splash move, but we'll see what Brad Holmes does, because he surprised us before when they went and signed C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Well, and if the Ravens trade for Saquon Barkley, like this, if there's more than like 1 minute before the trade deadline goes through, then you're immediately calling the Ravens and asking them about Gus Edwards and Justice Hill.
I agree with that. I agree.
I mean, if they're bringing in Barkley, they're bringing him in to be a feature guy, and immediately Edwards and Hill are redundant. You don't need both of them barely behind a guy who's a workhorse. So offer a mid-round pick for one of them.
I have a feeling Justice Hill will be the guy they would move over Gus Edwards, just because of Gus Edwards' power. Obviously, both guys have been banged up in their career. But yeah, so it'll be interesting, because teams are already making moves. I guess my hope is that the Lions make a move, because we feel like we've built this team up, and through mid-season, we want to do something that will help us this year. Running back, don't give up a lot for it, because we can draft a guy late or get a new unrestricted free agent, undrafted free agent next year to help bolster part of that room. Defensive back, heck, even defensive line, those are some areas that you would see me being okay that they went for. And like you said, it might not be a big name that everybody knows. It might be somebody's number two or number three guy that we're just trying to get for depth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can totally see that. Just a guy who can come in and, you know, if Montgomery's injury stretches out for another week or two, you know, somebody that you could plug in there and be okay, and have somebody who can share the workload with Craig Reynolds, who, struggled pass blocking, like really struggled when the Ravens were bringing the pass block and he was not picking it up very well. So just bringing in somebody who can do that in addition to being a, you know, a decent threat as a running back.
Yeah. And you know, like I said, we're seeing other teams make some moves right now. And so those teams that are in play that are trying to just get a little bit better, I think they're making the moves. And I think I'm hoping that the Lions are in that category. And again, you know, maybe the Lions can look to make some moves, but if the right price or the right player isn't there, they're not going to make something just to make it. Cause we've talked about it for a long time. You even mentioned it, like the person's got to be the right fit. And we've seen that. And I brought it up before. The Rams, they don't get to the Super Bowl without Von Miller and OBJ. And so, and that was after they'd already brought Matthew Stafford in. So the Lions did a lot this offseason, but if you can find a guy or two that's going to help shore up of area. And again, we're talking about areas where the Lions have had some injuries, running back, defensive back. That's dwindled their depth. We're not saying the players weren't getting the job done. We're saying some other situations have brought this about. Well, James, the Lions currently sit at 5-2. Before the season, if you would have said we're talking about a game recap after 5-2, we're probably in a pretty good mood. The way the season's gone, it's an up and down thing. Lions aren't going to win them all. We know that. But 5-2 is where we sit 1 week before the bye. It's going to be interesting to see what the Lions do before the trade deadline as well. The other thing that plays into this is the Lions play their next game after the trade deadline. So that could also play a little wrinkle into things. It's going to be a very busy week for the Lions, whether it's just practicing and preparing for the Raiders. Yes, we're excited about that, but don't take any team lightly, as we know. So we'll see. Get ready for the Raiders. Do the Lions make a move or do they stand pat?
One other thing about the trade deadline that makes it kind of interesting is, and normally I would say that I wouldn't think that Holmes would make a deal because, you know, he likes all the draft picks that he has and everything. But I think that bye week being where it is makes it maybe a little bit more likely because it gives them an extra week to put that person into their lineup and get them accustomed to the playbook, whether it's on offense or defense. And get that person right into the lineup. So that makes it maybe a little more attractive to bring somebody in than maybe Holmes would normally be interested in.
I like that perspective. I'm hoping that's the case because I'm hoping he makes a move. Once again, James, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, thank you so much for tuning in. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit the like button and subscribe while you're at it. Tell your friends about this show. And until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.